Chapter 19, Friendly Fires.
Schola Sicana Security Incident Report. At 21:30, beta-level activity was detected outside the Clan Kilhaven habitation block. Sensors spiked, exceeding lethal levels for 4 seconds. A Sister of the Abyss was present to quell the outburst and report the outcome. The proctor on call was notified. No further action was taken.
I'm Silver. What are your names? Rink had 3 young men at his side. They were all a year or two younger than me, but age made little difference when it came to a psyker's power and how well they could control it. 10 paces behind me, Mersina kept watch over the tense scene. She'd gone silent since the sighting of Rink at dinner.
"They're Brag, Hocus, and Leech," said Rink.
In my mind, they were purple, blue, and blue-green to Rink's yellow, and each was dimmer than their leader. I'd left Starfire inside with Whisper and carried enough energy to power my shield through the next encounter. Where are the others?
What others?
You had several more guarding you before.
They joined Balagem.
Why the change? You seemed well-placed in the neutral habs.
You know why. You've been hunting us long enough.
I'd been enjoying a Medicaid bed since Commissar Belling used me for target practice. I'd only been scouting, not hunting, but I could see the tired terror on their faces. How many have you lost?
3. One opened her wrists, one slammed a door on his neck, and the last one took a dive off of the rooftop of our hab.
And you had nothing to do with it?
Feth off.
Nothing subtle about that, but I wasn't here to be subtle either. I'd stopped Rink's heart once, and I would do it again if that's what it took. Well, Rink, why don't you and your crew show me what you've got? Shimmering in a silver hue, my shield hardened as Clan Kilhaven's front door burst open and a stream of Sanctionites poured out, forming a half-arc backing Locadio Rink. My adversaries grew from 4 to more than 200 in less than a minute. "Where's Bizena?" I said. Helix spoke up.
"She's a neonate. She can't cross swords with a first year. I thought you would have figured that out by now."
"Did you come for the show or want to join in?" Showing zero emotion, Whisper's small voice answered,
"We're here to defend the clan."
I took that as a challenge and raised the stakes. Tapping my collar, I said, "This one has had its termination charge re-enabled. If you can break through my shield and melt the collar, I'm sure it will go off. So stand back." I looked at Rink when I said it, hoping to gauge his reaction. He didn't disappoint. Rink and his crew opened up with everything they had, and the crowd backing them followed suit. There were some utterly powerful souls around me with warp streams far weightier than mine. Within the chorus, they wouldn't have to worry about being singled out as the one voice that brought me down. Why hadn't I thought of that beforehand? In an instant, I went into active shunt mode, bailing a river of shattering energy off of my shield. I didn't dare try to capture any of it, nor did I think about firing anything back. I dodged familiar faces and tried to match their statue-like stares as they pressed their case. I held back the storm for an eternity, lasting all of 3 seconds, and my shield took a dive. Feth. Locadio Rink frowned as I staggered. My goal had been to remain upright and nothing more. Rink had 200 souls backing him up, while I had 1. And Feth him. But the angel on my shoulder was stronger than everyone. Mersina's hand latched onto my collar, covering the locking mechanism. Her bubble raged outward, silencing the many critics around us.
"Enough."
She shook in anger, almost choking me with her emotion.
"Everyone, go back inside now."
I trembled right along with her and knew I couldn't complain as the Kilhaven Sanctionites retreated as one. Mercy's knee made sure of that, ending any chance I had of declaring victory or fathering children anytime soon. She followed it up with a mean backhand that spun me around and left me sprawled on the suddenly spinning ground. I curled up into the fetal position and listened to her boots running away. Somewhere within those fading footsteps, my own foot finally touched the ground, and I breathed out a sigh that left me utterly empty. I used to be good at selecting the color of my eyes. To better connect with my family, I would paint the irises a mundane marble blue, hiding the fact that their untended color was an unreal silver. I'd done it so often that it became a subconscious act, something that happened even when I slept or focused on something else entirely. During my trip to Sicana, I'd given up the color blue along with my name and my personal connections. I still knew how to affect my irises and appear more human to those around me, but but I'd forgotten the deeper and more important aspects of living. Did I want control of my destiny? Feth, yes. Did I want to feel connected to friends and family around me? Of course, but not while my first and foremost need went unmet. Who wants to sleep with a slave? What good is a name if you can't bear to remember it? Rink's small crew had lost 3 hands in as many weeks, 3 psychers that couldn't adjust, find the right balance, or decide on a safe spot to land. Or more likely, something darker had found them and pushed them over the edge. The death certificates would have been sealed and their bodies recycled like McKittrix. What color are my eyes? I whispered.
Blue,
she said. Her voice held every bit of power at that moment.
I like the color you've chosen. It reminds me of someone.
I was lying on a couch, not on the ground or in the Medicaid, but in a well-lit apartment. Proctor Alicante?
Yes, you've had a rough night. Help is on the way.
My dreams were never this real. Where's Proctor Chinasa?
It isn't his turn to be on call.
Proctor Alicante's perfume remained on duty even at this late hour. She was dressed as if she'd walked in the door from a date. Her lavender aura seemed to brush against my skin, gnawing at the emptiness inside me. In the distance, my left foot began lifting itself from the plascrete. I tried to sit up. I'm okay, I should go, I've got...
Parik, you've had a rough night. A psychic hangover isn't a small thing. Your location and condition have been reported. You're fine right where you are.
June Alicante helped prop me up on her couch, and her touch seemed to heal everything that ailed me. But you're my eval proctor. We ought to have a table between us. To be clear, I had nothing against the sudden closeness or the unexpected warmth. She smiled.
I'm not your eval proctor. Not anymore.
I'm sorry for scaring you.
Never have I seen someone so...
I was fading in and out, trying to follow her words, slowly succumbing to her perfume. What did you say?
Silver, are you still with me?
I would have sworn she'd spoken a different name. Call me Peric.
Okay, call me June.
The scene disappeared, and I found myself lying flat on my back outside Clan Killhaven, trying to get my bearings. June?
Mercina hit you that hard, did she?
Delia?
Yes, it's me, lover boy.
Delia Barmacid had arrived to cut my connection and ruin my night. Where's Mercina? Delia put on her null-dampening necklace.
She's taking the rest of the night off. I'm here to walk you home, assuming you can walk.
I could walk. Having skipped eating dinner, parts of me were incredibly sore. One was empty, and the rest were hung over from the rapid inundation and ensuing lack of warp energy. I pulled a fresh dose of silver energy from Starfire to brighten my senses and light up my shield. I veered toward the tramway station.
Whoa, where are you going?
Back to meet with Dean Killhaven.
He sent orders to keep you on campus. You can take your pick of the local accommodations.
That wasn't in the plan. Not at all. Feth. The neutral habs were a dead end in more ways than one. I wouldn't make it through the night in the isolation they provided. Fine. Balagem. Delia gave me the stern look I deserved.
What's your game, Silver?
She wasn't talking about my choice of clan. Delia, you were there the other night when the guards attacked us.
Besides the hellgun blast aimed at your head, what did that have to do with you?
Delia pondered the right questions. The guards had been too close to miss us, yet they had. I don't know. There are connections here that I'm missing.
You think? I found you alone, passed out, and unguarded in the middle of downtime. Imagine my shock.
I'm suddenly available if that's what you're asking.
You tempt me.
Delia deadpanned.
But I've forgotten my whip.
Somehow I still felt hurt by her response. Did I mention how empty I felt? The smell of June Alicante was stuck in my head. Delia, you don't wear any perfume.
Do I need it?
No, not in the least. I let my sincerity sink in. Do you have a safe word?
Do I look like I need one, lover boy?
You tempt me, I replied as we reached the Balagem front door.
Silver, you've arrived. Go to bed.
I went in alone. The Balagem hab was quiet and far more subdued than my last visit. I was shown to a clean suite that housed several new Psychana uniforms, and thankfully, nobody asked how my night was going. A cold shower and a warm bed left me to my thoughts and the strong currents running beneath them. I replayed the encounter with Clan Killhaven, giving myself a chance to process the event. Challenging an entire clan was brazen enough. My shield had held for 3 seconds before the vast array of spells began to swamp it. Mercy had doused her collar and dashed to the rescue, saving me from the utter stupidity of the moment. I wore a lethal collar and shouldn't have been advertising its existence. I was vulnerable in the extreme if one knew how to manipulate such a device. In that moment of confrontation, I'd bet that not a single Sanctionite had a clue as to how it could be done, not even Locadio Rink. To think that a student could, even before they'd landed on Terra, was the lie that shielded a black witch and broadened their domain. Feth. I didn't know how McKittrick and I were connected. None of my other classmates had met the ghost of Locadio Rink. And where did Dean Kilhaven fit in? The curse of the golden spider had been hunting for him and attacking everything in his domain when I'd caught it. I'd been sloppy tonight, intentionally so, misguided and vulnerable. I was a Sanctionite with a deft touch of power and not even a black-clad angel on my shoulder to keep me alive. Come and get me. The last threat of all was motive. Why would a rogue psyker prey on Sykhana, the most guarded and rogue witch averse place in the Imperium? Ordo Hereticus trained here, honing their skills and building a better understanding of the psykers that they would hunt. Couldn't they differentiate a psyker from a witch? Couldn't they decode our DNA and tell us who we were? Or was it all a matter of trust and how to use it? Trust flowed both ways. As a psyker, I trusted in other people's reactions, not their hearts, and had to assume it was the same for all of the Sanctionites around me. To define myself by the actions of others was a shallow, short-sighted path to walk. It left one holding the leash of a golden curse and taking a stroll along the border of oblivion.
I'm lonely.
McKittrick's ghost sat at the foot of my bed, looking more real than ever. My body slept soundly as I slid into a spot beside her. Welcome to Sykhana. She reached out and carefully touched my sternum.
You're wart-marked.
Does that scare you?
It did. But considering that the Emperor has marked us both, it's only one path among many.
That was one way of looking at it. Perhaps the right way. It was also clear that something in the young woman had changed. A realization had occurred. A decision had been made. Tegan McKittrick, have you found your path home?
I think so. Meet me tomorrow at our usual spot and I'll show you.
I smiled. Are you asking me out on a date?
Consider it whatever you like.
She kissed me on the ethereal cheek and faded into the night. The bed grew colder, and I kept my shields up, relying on starfire to supply the energy needed to keep me alive until morning.